The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Celtics on their way to their 18th title. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It was just a performance by the Celtics that was great, Perloff, but it was in jeopardy in the fourth quarter when the Mavericks come all the way back on a 22-2 run after they were down big in the third quarter, and it looked like they had stole the momentum back from Boston. Hey, maybe we get a series here, and maybe the Mavs are actually going to show up in this series, and then Luka Doncic fouls out. 4 minutes, 12 seconds left to go in the game. Kyrie Irving tried to carry him all the way home, but he couldn't do it, and now this thing is 3-0, and it is curtains.
It's funny. Everyone says the NBA is fixed. The officials help get the big markets in. Our friend Rick Carlisle famously said, you got to give the small markets a chance. The NBA is not fixing this finals because they had some tough calls on the Mavericks last night. And now they're going to have no ratings for game four because there's no drama here. It was so fun to get into it last night when the comeback came. I'm like, finally we have some competition here because it looked like it was on the way to be a very easy Boston win. But I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed from a competitive standpoint.
Yeah.
3-0, you're right. History says there's no chance at all. And honestly, the Celtics, if they need to, can bring Porzingis back and make it even easier to win this title. It's over. There was a moment last night it felt like, wow, this is going to be a series. There's just not enough talent on Dallas. They just are not a good enough team from top to bottom.
Okay, and that's fine. And we probably knew that even going into the series. But your best player in Luka Doncic had to have an all-time game last night. That was it, period. And you know what? He didn't. And not only that, he was all the things about Luka that people will point to and say, this is why it's going to be tough for him to win a title, all reared their head last night. Like, you have to play like the finals are on the line because statistically they were. The record is 0-156 for teams who are down 0-3. You are not coming back. You're not that special of a team that you're going to be the ones who are going to defy all these years of NBA history. It's not going to happen. And so Luka had to be his absolute best. And instead, it was all the stuff that people dislike about his game. Not getting other people involved, the constant whining and complaining, and not being efficient, and referees and bad calls, some of them were bad, getting into his head and taking him out of his game. And the champions don't do that. They find a way to rise above. Even if they still complain, they find a way to still play their game.
I didn't feel like he didn't get other people involved last night. You felt like he was more black hole-y yesterday?
I mean, that also...
I don't think that's the case. Like, Kyrie is a black hole.
Celtics have done a good job of cutting off the passing lanes, and Luka doesn't play any defense, and it's been Ole.
But he never played defense, and they got to the finals. I mean, he's had a couple steals, but...
See, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think the Mavericks did start to buckle down defensively, and that was one of the big things...
Keeping Luka out of the fray.
But that was one of the things that really changed for them after the trade deadline and how they kind of revamped their team, is they did become this good defensive team.
Right, because they're big guys, and they have those guys back there, but Boston has four all-star guards, so they neutralize all of the things Dallas does well. So why are you blaming... They're just a bad matchup, and they just... There's nobody besides Kyrie and Luka who can do anything here. So how you can put the blame on Luka and not the rest of the roster seems weird to me.
Well, because if the rest of the roster was good enough to get them here, then...
But they're not good enough in this final. They are not stepping up. Luka's stats have been amazing. I mean, I know he shot poorly last night.
Yeah, 27 points on 27 shots.
But how do you explain that he's the only plus player? He's plus 9 for the Mavericks. Even Kyrie, who had a good game, was minus 3. When he's on the court, he's still effective. The whole defense still has to watch Luka, and I just think this is on the It's on the rest of the team. Now, Kyrie and Luka are scoring. There's nothing else.
Now, if you want to just point to the moment in the game when things changed, it was clearly the sixth foul call on Luka. So Luka Doncic in foul trouble. He got four fouls called on him in the fourth quarter amidst this Mavericks comeback. Like, they're making the big comeback, an all-time comeback. And the sixth foul was, by the letter of the law, definitely a foul. He was definitely moving his feet. He was trying to draw a charge. Didn't get called for the block. He's out with 4:12 left to go in the game. It's a tough call to make at that spot. It is. But that was the moment. Did you think it was the right call?
Technically, yes, it was a right call. I wish they could have just played on. But the problem was Jaylen Brown fell, so you kind of have to call something. Technically, it was a defensive foul. But I think Jaylen Brown did lead with his elbow. It was tough. Yeah, I'm not killing Luka for that. That was one of those things that happened. I think Luka just found himself in an awkward spot. I don't know. Do you think he made a huge mistake by being out there? It wasn't like he's like, oh, I'm gonna go out of my way to try and fight. He's like, oh, this guy's out of control. I'm gonna step in here and get a charge. It's not a bad thought.
It's just the problem is you had just gotten called for your fifth foul 25 seconds earlier or whatever, and now you're playing with five fouls, and you've got to understand that, you know, you're the most important player on the floor for your team. Yeah. And so all of a sudden now's the time we're going to step in and try to take a charge when you're not Mr. Defense at all. So
he was
it's about being smarter.
Yeah. I mean, that I feel like that was a little bit of bad luck.
Or bad refereeing. I don't know. But it was a turning point. It was the moment that changed, because Luka, despite all the pointing and screaming and complaining and whining and all of that stuff, I mean, they had definitely changed the momentum. And I don't know if Boston would have just naturally wrestled it back, but they clearly saw an opening when Luka left the floor. I mean, like, again, yeah. Kyrie was only going to be able to do so much.
I think the Celtics win the game anyway, because remember, the Celtics hadn't really run their offense for about 10 minutes of game time. They were 1-for-10.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were going to go the rest of the game without scoring anything. At the very end, what they did have was the big three by Derek White, big jump shot by Jaylen Brown. I was worried they didn't have closers, and they've had closers. So again, I credit Boston. I think what they learned in Golden State is clearly coming. The loss of Golden State in the 2022 finals is clearly coming to fruition. They didn't seem panicked at all in the last minute.
And they also got the beneficiary of, they were the beneficiaries rather, of some foul calls going their way. So right after Luka fouls out, then PJ Washington gets called for a moving screen. And then even later on, as Derek White's going for a rebound, like a long rebound, you know, I forgot who it was, like, grabbed onto his arm a little bit, and that was another foul.
No, that was definitely a foul. Like, Derek White would have caught the ball if the guy didn't grab him. I thought that they were hammering Jason Tatum and not calling any of that. So it was both teams got some bad calls.
Let's go to the phones, 855-212-4227. The question of the day is on X at Maggie and Pearl, which is, do you blame Luka for the loss last night with the Mavericks? Rich is in Cali. Good morning, Rich.
Morning. How are you this morning?
We're great.
The problem with the Mavericks is a problem with an overachiever. Midnight eventually comes. And I think probably they were maybe the third best team in the West, and they ran into a team that was better. And I don't think it really mattered whether Doncic got a foul or whatever the story was. They were outmatched. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it happens sometimes.
So wait, if they're the third best team in the West, why are they there, in your opinion, Rich?
I think they just kind of lucked out in the draw, and the other teams that, you know, like, names are escaping me right now.
The Nuggets.
Nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Nuggets underachieved.
Yeah.
And they got by them. I think if the Nuggets are playing the Celtics, We're still in the middle of this. We're not burying the Mavericks.
I totally agree. The Nuggets would be a much better matchup for Boston.
Rich, thank you for the call this morning. Yeah. You might be right. One of the all-time what-ifs from this season, because, again, like, this finals hasn't been, like, super compelling. One of the all-time what-ifs is, or what happens, is how did the Nuggets blow a 20-point lead on their home floor in a Game 7?
To a young team that hadn't been there before, the T-Wolves. Like, why are the T-Wolves showing up for Game 7 and not the Nuggets? The Nuggets would have so many more answers for the Celtics. I still think the Celtics might beat them. But then again, the Nuggets would have to get past the Mavs. We're kind of advancing this a little bit. And again, the Mavs were so lucky that they got the Thunder and the T-Wolves. Both kind of, and the T-Wolves ran out of gas against the Mavs. They were wiped. Anthony Edwards had nothing left. Yeah, I kind of agree with that sentiment that Dallas had the right draw.
Yeah, listen, the Celtics were substantial favorites coming into this finals, right? And not overwhelming favorites, were substantial favorites.
Yes.
And the money flooded in on Dallas. And I think it was because a couple reasons. One, there still was no belief in Boston. And in the last 2 minutes of the game, if it's between Tatum and Brown or Luka and Kyrie, who would you rather have? And meanwhile, the last 2 minutes of the game, well, they mattered a little bit last night, but game one didn't matter at all. Anyway, I think there was the Celtics' history that worked against them. And I think people believed that the West was such a tougher road that it meant the Mavericks, you know, were actually playing better than Boston, because Boston had gotten some breaks with not having to play against teams who had their best players out.
Yeah, teams that aren't even that good anyway. I mean, sorry, the Pacers, the Cavs, and the Bucks were not world beaters this year.
Miami, yeah.
Not the Bucks. Yeah. I understand that. And listen, it was plus 170 was the Mavs final line. So, and I picked them and I bet on them. And I'm like, oh, this is a great value. This is going to be a war. I was wrong.
And I don't know how you're going to make this money back. We got to figure this out.
It's also not a fluke, honestly. Like, you watch Boston against Dallas. I think they could play 10 games and Boston's going to win them every time. The matchups are perfect because they have all these perimeter defenders. They don't have to double team Kyrie and Luka every time. Yeah, Kyrie's going to get his, but they are an incredible matchup for this what was supposed to be the greatest scoring backcourt in NBA history. Yeah, until you go into Derek White, Drew Holiday, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. I mean, you're right. Kyrie got his last night, but the defense is amazing for Boston.
855-212-4227. If you want to weigh in on our question, was Luka at fault, and should he wear the blame for the Mavericks losing last night and ultimately losing the series? Again, 0-156. This is not going to be, this Mavericks team is not going to be the one that makes history and comes back from an 0-3 hole. I feel pretty confident saying that. Meanwhile, on the flip side, Boston, 10 straight wins for the Celtics. They're 7-0 on the road. You know, we had talked about this with Chad Finn from the Boston Globe, this deep dive about this, that the Celtics, by the numbers, are actually like an all-time great team.
Yeah.
And
we tried to talk Chad out of that take.
Meanwhile, we had him on, and it was right when the Dan Hurley news had broken. And so we got very sidetracked with that Dan Hurley Lakers situation. And we never really talked as much about the Celtics, but this is sort of happening in front of our eyes. The Celtics are going to complete this run, and we have to start talking about them as an amazing team.
Did 2 days ago, somebody, it was either one of us or a caller or a guest, said that Dan Hurley should also watch that Boston job because Joe Mazzulla is not the real deal. I didn't say that.
I don't think I did, but yes, the idea that Dan Hurley would not go to the Lakers, because why not wait to see if Boston or the New York Knicks job opens up?
Right.
Meanwhile, this is the most likable Knicks team that has been around in forever.
Yeah, Thibodeau feels safe.
Since the 90s.
But now Mazzulla, not only... Mazzulla in 2 days has changed his complete outlook. Now he comes from kind of a weird press conference guy to a... X's and O's genius.
Yeah, it would have been like if Nick Sirianni actually won the Super Bowl, you know? Like press conference guy, but then you got to respect him if he wins.
But there's a lot of stories I bring. Missoula's attention to details is number one. Like, he apparently has everything buttoned up. So I think nobody's gained more out of it. Jason Tatum has not gained that much. It was supposed to be Tatum's legacy series, and he's been kind of a hit or miss.
Yep.
I think Missoula has gained the most so far. I feel like people are like, oh, that guy's a good coach.
I think also a renewed appreciation for Drew Holiday.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. I thought you were going to say Jaylen Brown.
Oh, Jaylen Brown. Yes, definitely Jaylen Brown. He has been dynamite. And I think Jaylen Brown got always a lot of like, oh, he's the 1B, you know, to Tatum.
Definitely.
And then he signed this massive contract. It's like, wow, the 1B is the highest paid player in the NBA?
Yeah, and then Jason Kidd comes out and calls him the greatest player, and we all think it's mind games.
Kidd's onto something.
Yeah. Jason Kidd might know what he's talking about.
Yeah, now if he could just make an adjustment. 855-212-4227. No, listen, Kidd tried...
Adjustment what? Add two more players out of nowhere?
He tried everything last night, and Mavericks are down 0-3. 11 different players played in the first half. I mean, they were just like, you in, Get in there. Someone hit a shot for the love of God.
Oh, poor Tim Hardaway Jr. I mean, like he's got the money. I think he's 0 for 7 in the series. I feel bad for that guy. Is that weird that I feel bad for him?
Yeah, why would you feel bad for him?
Because to have your coach lose confidence in you, that's something I've been through before. It hurts. And then you get in there and you get your chance. You take a big three-pointer and it goes in and out. Like, that guy can't buy a break with that $200 million he's earned.
Was this the... I know. How's he going to sleep at night? Is this... What coach got into you? Is this high school or college? Yeah.
Oh, my God. My high school coach did not like me, and my confidence just wilted every time. He didn't expect me to be good, and I could play really good when he wasn't there, and then I was terrible when he was there.
Okay, so you went to the same high school as Kobe Bryant. Was this the same coach who coached Kobe?
Then he retired, and this amazing coach came in. I think they hired this guy because they knew Kobe was around. So then Greg Downer, who's still the coach, has won multiple state titles since Kobe left too. He's still there, I believe. He's like one of the great high school coaches in American basketball history. Not so much. And also, listen, I was not good in high school. There's no way he was going to make me into
he was
Kobe
turn
Bryant.
You into Kobe. Yeah,
Kobe Bryant was a different thing. I mean, honestly, you could have coached Kobe Bryant in high school. He'd go out there, score 40 points. We're good.
Yeah, 855-212-4227. Okay, so that's what's going on. You can weigh in on the question. Do you blame the Mavericks' loss last night on Luka Doncic? I say yes. Perloff says no. You got to blame the rest of the team. We've got so much more for you, including the best move from the NFL offseason. Who's the team that made it, and what does it mean for them this season? That all happens in just a matter of moments. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. All right. NFL offseason kind of winding down, which makes me, the offseason is winding down. That means the season's coming. But at least we have mandatory mini camps to fuel the nonstop NFL headline generator.
Thankfully, some people decided to actually show up to those mandatory mini camps, unlike Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So, but it is a good time to look back at the offseason. I don't want to overrate the offseason moves because come September, we forget most of them. But how are we going to do this exactly, Maggie? We are going to look back at the best offseason move in the entire NFL.
Yeah, the one you think is going to be the most impactful.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We're going to have any music? We're just going to do it.
Brian, what do you think? No?
Yes? Just do it.
Just do it.
Okay, I'm going to go...
Quit stalling.
I'm going to go against some of my own takes here because I've been the anti-pay for a wide receiver guy.
Oh, that's you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that Justin Jefferson's music?
By God.
I don't think the content's going to match this music. I don't think I'm bringing the goods. Because this sounds like, yeah, let's go. NFL offseason, biggest move. And then I'm like, I'm going Keenan Allen. I am going Keenan Allen. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I'm not a big pay wide receiver guy, but... Is there a more perfect fit for a team than Keenan Allen, the former Chargers wide receiver, going to the Chicago Bears? He is the safety valve because they desperately need Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, to be good. They got rid of Justin Fields, who was starting to win in a real way last year. They got 7-10 with him. Probably would have been a playoff team with Justin Fields. So you cannot have Caleb Williams be a bust like Bryce Young was last year. So to me... Keenan Allen, the ultimate possession receiver when he's actually healthy. We'll assume he's healthy. I think he is such an important, as I said, safety valve for Chicago. Like, things can't go so bad if he's there. You know he's going to get open for 8 yards on the first down. So, to me, that is a huge addition for Chicago.
All right. I just want to... You hated this move
yes!
when it happened.
Oh, thank God.
I just want to point that out. You hated this move, but that's okay.
No, you thought about it now,
and you're back on the right side.
No. I didn't hate this move. I just didn't like it as much as you guys did.
Oh, you did.
Okay. Wait, why did I hate for Chicago?
Everything that you just said pro Keenan Allen, you said the opposite of when it happened.
I got to get the footage.
Bogus with the receipts.
But they... Okay. What did I like about it, though? They didn't give up any fourth
round pick. Why would you pay a wide receiver? You're not going to do anything. They already have two other guys for Caleb Williams.
I was looking for my phone
to text Maggie, like, he 100% crushed this when it happened.
There's also just a thought where you believe any wide receiver over the age of 31 should be taken out to the woodshed.
Right.
So I was hearing Keenan Allen the other day. Apparently Keenan Allen hates his contract. He's on the last year. And he's not getting paid a lot. So he's not really a financial problem at all for the Bears.
In a contract year, too. That's a good incentive.
He's got a good incentive. So as it turns out, it's a rental. So maybe I was wrong about that. And I looked at the way the Bears offseason. Apparently, Caleb Williams does not look ideal in camp. That is the word on a lot of, like, he is maybe struggling a little bit. So whatever I thought of Keenan Allen in March, right now, they need that dude so bad because it doesn't feel like every team is putting out video of their quarterback just throwing dimes all over the field. Apparently, it's been a lot of mixed messages coming out of Chicago on Caleb Williams. So to me right now, I'm going Keenan Allen, and I am so sorry if I'm going against my own thing, but I'm glad you're keeping track of this, Bogus.
you did say at the beginning I'm going against one of my own takes here. And Keenan Allen, to back up your point, only 13 games last year, still at over 1,200 yards receiving. Like, the guy is still awesome.
Yeah, by the way, and they have DJ Moore and Odunze too. So this is like they're doing everything to support Caleb Williams because it feels like Jaden Daniels is perfect. It feels like Drake May is the next coming. Feels like, JJ McCarthy's not going to play. But right now, to me, the most concerning rookie is Caleb Williams. And I'm sorry, he's the best college player I've ever seen, but I just worry that he's not going to be good, so they need Keenan Allen. I take it back whatever I said in March. I apologize.
All right. Seamless transition there, Pete. Ryan, that was great.
Now what's the music? What's
now this? This is like Price is Right type music.
Zydeco or something, right?
Oh, it's the old Pyramid theme.
Oh, it's Pyramid.
Was the first one from Double Dribble? It sounded very much like a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah. No, it said game show music in the folder.
Okay.
Surprised. It seemed more like video game music.
Yeah, right?
Are there actual people on instruments now jamming out, right?
they're in the back.
Like, do they make these songs on a computer, or is there like a band? Back in the day, it was like a band.
Oh, yeah, with guys that shouted into the microphone, yeah.
No chance that this is human-generated. Why would it be?
No, I think there's somebody wailing on the sax right now, man.
An oboe in the background.
They're all in magic suits.
Yeah, the woodwind section.
Yeah, sure.
There is no way this is human generated.
All right, my most impactful, one of my favorite moves from the NFL offseason, I'm going to stay in the NFC North, and I'm going to give it to the Green Bay Packers. Kind of very seamlessly replaced Aaron Jones is out and Josh Jacobs is in. And, you know, this is fantastic for them. First of all, Josh Jacobs, I think, is an amazing player, an all-pro player, multiple-time pro bowler, both the run game and the pass game. So he's versatile, and he's just an excellent talent. Jordan Love is going to have a lot of pressure on him. We might not talk about him like we do Aaron Rodgers every single day, but he's going to get some love for MVP. People are going to think he's going to leave off right from that NFC divisional game in San Francisco and pick up right there and just be like this next supernova in the league.
Yeah.
What helps quarterbacks who are in those situations? Running backs, especially running backs that you can not only pass the hand the ball off to, but also dump off into the flat. This is a great signing by the Green Bay Packers. Phenomenal. Perfect. Loved it. Love everything about it. Josh Jacobs is 25. Like, this is the part of the young core that grows together. I'm a fan.
Bogus, is that past the sniff test there? Did she say the same thing when it happened?
Well, that's a new thought from Maggie.
See, I'm coming up with new stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, you were inspired by the music.
Yeah.
I totally hear what you say, but isn't party like, man, Aaron Jones was pretty awesome by the end.
Totally.
So I don't know. I'm not sure about the upgrade part. I love Josh Jacobs, too, but I worry about what they lost a little bit, too. The problem was Jones wasn't healthy. I think you could argue that. Like, you couldn't get enough games out of him.
I love this. I think the Packers are going to have some major expectations, and I think it's going to be a really fun year in that division. You mentioned that J.J. McCarthy might not play. I know Sam Darnold right now is taking, like, the first-team reps or what have you.
Well, they named him. He's a starter coming into camp.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to stick. So
J.J. McCarthy's never thrown a pass. How is he all of a sudden going to learn to play an NFL quarterback?
He's a first-round draft pick, and Justin Jefferson just got paid. So what are we doing wasting time here with Sam Darnold?
Don't ask me. Ask
Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell.
Nah, they're just doing that thing where they want the rookie to seem like he earned it, and then the team can all rally behind him. And we've seen this 100 times.
But it could be a Kurt Warner where they play him for 8 weeks and then put in the rookie. Or my friend Case Keenum. That's happened a couple times. It could be a bridge. Maybe Sam Darnold does the first 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, Sam Darnold and Kurt Warner, not exactly same. Just FYI.
Yeah, but honestly.
Even Case. Case has way more success in the league than Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold at least got a good arm. I mean, he can. If I'm Justin Jefferson, who knows? Sam Darnold might get it out there better than J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, right
into
the first row.
Oh, my God. You guys hate Sam Darnold.
It's not about hating him. It's just I've watched enough Sam Darnold to know that this is going to be tough.
Sam Darnold had a season with the Jets where he had 20 touchdowns and 13 picks. If you use a Jets calculator, that's like Dan Marino's 48 touchdown season. That's one of the great seasons in the history of the NFL. I don't know what you guys are seeing. Yeah, he was terrible at the end. He was terrible with the Panthers. But what does that mean? Who knows what that means? And, you know, Kyle Shanahan seems to be a fan of Sam Darnold, so that makes me interested.
Yeah, he's such a fan, he's not there anymore. 855-212-4227. He did everything he could to get him out of town. No. Let's get to Bogush. He's got headlines for us. Hello.
Hello again. Today's poll question is, was last night's loss Luka Doncic's fault? I voted yes, and I think Kendrick Perkins would as well.
Let's cut the okay? That's all this X's and O's about the cutting and... And it should have been, you know, this pass should have been made and all this. No. Let's call it spade to spade. Okay, we're looking at the Dallas side of things. Kyrie Irving showed up and did what he was supposed to do tonight. Ain't no other way around it. Luka off the game.
And there's more.
And it started from the tip. The complaining. Every damn possession down. The falling on the floor. Right? Not getting back in transition. Not making a second effort. He didn't box out. One time he missed the box out on, I believe it was Drew Holiday.
That was all from the Road Trippin' podcast recorded overnight.
Wait, here's the question. You curse once, you just get a bleep. The first thing, he must have had multiple.
That was a lot.
What did he say? That bleep was like, beep.
Yeah, it was extended.
There was also one I just didn't understand. It was a bleep before the word off that was out of context. I don't even know what the curse word was.
I gave you a couple of suggestions that was said there.
Yeah, but I don't know what bleep off the game. What the bleep. I'm with you.
Oh. I can still give you a couple of suggestions. What they
well, just can we in the break, can we go back to the raw feed?
I don't have the raw feed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Why? Okay. I was trying to think. No, that one doesn't work. That one doesn't work.
How many four-letter words can we do here?
Is that one? No.
It's one of the great mysteries of our time.
Doncic had 27 points on 27 shots before fouling out with 4:12 left in Game 3. His Mavs had cut a 91-70 deficit to 93-92. But they lost 106-99 to fall into an 0-3 hole in the finals. Jason Kidd says the Celtics were definitely targeting Luka on defense.
He has definitely got a bullseye on his chest, and so he's got to be able to guard and understand that we're there to protect him and help him if he does get beat.
Which he did often last night. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum combining for 61 points and 6 threes. Their Celtics have now reeled off 10 straight wins. They are 7-0 on the road this postseason, getting there last night without Kristaps Porzingis and his injured left foot. Game 4 tomorrow night in Dallas. Corey Seager won that epic Bubble World Series with the Dodgers last night, the first time he played at Dodger Stadium since leaving for Texas.
3-2 again. That ball is hit high and deep into right field. Hayward going back, looking up, and it is out of here. Midway up the bleachers in straightaway right. In his first game back at Dodger Stadium as a Dodger opponent, Corey Seager blasts a three-run home run to put Texas on top, 3-1.
And that three-run homer was the only Texas offense last night. It was barely enough.
Yates to Hayward. First pitch is a line drive, right center base hit. Leone over to cut it off. It's off of his glove. Rounding third is Smith. He scores. Pajas being waved home. Here comes the throw. Play at the plate. He is out at home plate. And that's how this ball game ends. How about that?
That was the tying run cut down at the plate to end the game. However, Andy Pajas was not being waved home. He ran through a stop sign. See? And the Dodgers lose to the Rangers 3-2.
Listen to your coaches.
I'm sorry.
You call that the Scheffler?
That's probably obvious, but when you say the epic Dodgers World Series win, that was sarcasm.
That
right?
was sarcasm. Okay, yeah, sorry, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. I thought I've never heard you, you sort of denounce the bubble titles, but that's what that was.
The, okay. the baseball one is the least is the most flimsy of all of them. I'll defend the NBA bubble for forever. They were locked in there for 3.5 months. Like that's a real thing. The baseball one is the cheapest of the bunch.
They played 50 games. Yeah. They didn't even play half the season.
It's worth taking a shot in June 2024 at Corey Seager's bubble title. You're like still on it? Okay.
Just holding on to some serious grudges.
Was it truly like an emotional night? Like people at Corey Seager's back at Dodger Stadium. Like,
no.
That's right. So the whole thing was... is weak.
No, you know, it's the franchise that's got more money than God, and they're like, eh, we'll let him go.
Yeah.
Well, one thing about that Dodgers, it did get Kershaw a ring, right?
Yes.
So that to me is like, thank God, because if that guy had retired without a championship, that would have been bad. Or is that totally lame on my part?
No, I'm with you, but are people going to say, oh, it was the bubble ring and not fully count it?
Also, some of Kershaw's failures in big spots in the postseason is part of, I mean, he's an all-time amazing pitcher, but...
Right.
He's also had high-profile failures. That's also part of it.
No, but that's why I'm glad he at least got this to put those...
The asterisk ring?
It's better than nothing because he was an all-time postseason failure.
No, I know, but it's essentially nothing because nobody thinks that this ring is on par with anything else that the Dodgers have previously done or anyone else in baseball. It was crazy times. It's not his fault. It's just... It's not the same.
I know what you're saying, and I understand it logically. I think legacy-wise, it actually did something for Clayton Kershaw. I really do. I think like people are not going to point to him as an all-time postseason failure.
If you weren't alive during that time and you don't remember the context, you probably won't.
Also, Kershaw got a little better as a performer himself. I think he steadied his postseason game.
U.S. men's soccer, a 1-1 draw with Brazil in Orlando in a Copa America warm-up. It's just the second non-loss in 20 all-time meetings with the soccer powerhouse. And the Florida Panthers got to Edmonton yesterday a little later than scheduled because of that prodigious rain in South Florida. Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final is tonight with the Oilers down 2-0. Guys, back to you.
Feels actually kind of significant, that travel delay, because Edmonton had gotten out. Oh, wait, Edmonton got out the day before. So they had like 2 nights of good rest at home. Meanwhile, Florida gets caught up in this epic rainstorm. That looked really bad. And they got in late last night. The game's at 6:40 tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Oilers went home the next morning.
Right.
And the Panthers stayed behind. And... I mean, this was also kind of forecasted. Like, it was some form of bad storm was coming. I think they got more rain than they were projecting. But still, you'd think they would have not practiced yesterday in sunrise. Like, get out, fly in the morning before the storms get any worse.
That's that. You're up 2-0. Like, you're leading in this series.
Yeah.
Nope. You know?
I don't care then. If they knew the rain was coming and they still didn't decide to get out there early, if they stayed to get delayed, that's their fault.
I wonder if it's the type of thing where when you live in this type of weather, you always think you'll get through it.
Yeah,
not like a hurricane or something. Those you got to take extremely seriously. But like we live in the Northeast. Whenever they're like, oh, you're going to get a lot of snow, better get out. We're like, all right.
And charter
Let's
flights.
See the snow.
And charter flights are different. You get, I think, have different clearance to take off and maybe a little more leeway.
Yeah, you're not backed up on the runway with everyone going to Topeka, you know?
It's also, you're in the Stanley Cup Finals. It's not like it's just a regular work day.
That's true. That is true.
Well, I mean, Scotty Scheffler can't even drive to the golf course during the PGA Championship.
That was different circumstances.
That was Louisville.
Oh, okay. But I'm just saying, it's not always easy for people to actually get to championship events these days.
That's the point.
I don't know. Clayton Kershaw, 4-1 in the 2020 postseason, by the way. That's not bad.
Yeah, because he was at a full tank of gas because how many games did he pitch in the regular season?
Why are you hating on Clayton Kershaw?
I'm not hating on Kershaw, I'm hating on the title.
All right.
Well, and if you're saying he's a choker, he would choke in the postseason whenever the postseason happened.
Well, it's easier if you only make 5 starts.
Well, now she's saying because he didn't have his legs for the other postseason. So was it because he was choking or because he was tired?
Yes. 855-212-4227. Okay. So much more to do. We did not mention somebody got a new nickname, and it is awful. Can you ever say, like, no, don't call me that. I don't want to be called this. Can you denounce your own nickname? We'll get to that next. Maggie and Perloff, don't move.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. This is a story, Pearl, that's right up your alley because you know what it's like to have a great nickname.
What do you mean?
Well, you are known as McLovin for many years.
Is that a great nickname? That's debatable.
Oh, it's awesome. It's an all-time nickname.
Yeah, it's not my nickname. It was another guy's nickname. That was the problem the entire time.
Well, it didn't seem like a problem to any of us. On the outside, it was awesome. And so
you're
still known as McLovin to many, many people. And I know it's definitely a term of endearment, but you know what it's like to have a great nickname. Imagine, though, what's happening in Raiders camp ends up happening to you. Which is you're a rookie, a heralded rookie, right? First round draft pick. You get to your new team. You get a nickname for presumably doing everything right, but the nickname itself is just bad. Here is Devontae Adams talking about his new nickname for rookie tight end Brock Bowers.
That's BM, man. That's what I call him, BM. That's the businessman. He don't care about nothing else other than just locking in on football. And I can see it in his eyes. I try to tell a joke and get him to laugh. Talking to the rookies, did a little panel with him a couple weeks ago. And, I mean, he was sitting there stone-faced, didn't laugh at a thing I said. So I was like, this is BM right here. I told him that yesterday. Gave him his nickname. So I definitely know. I see what he's about, seen the tape. He's a big, strong dude, and he's focused and driven. So the sky's the limit for him.
You're 7 years old, Maggie. Would you just grow up?
No.
Would you grow up? The man is businessman. you're way too excited for this story.
No, there's a million other ways to get that point across than nicknaming him BM. And here's the other part. How about this? Someone crack a smile when Devontae Adams is up there trying to make jokes, everybody. He's doing some kind of rookie panel. He's up there working hard, trying to work the room. A couple one-liners, a couple zingers. The rookies are supposed to laugh.
I'm not sure I've ever heard Devontae Adams say anything funny.
Was that a joke? I thought he was serious.
What?
No. Maggie's saying that he was doing a rookie panel, and I think you're saying that he should have.
Brock Bowers should have been laughing.
Courtesy laugh.
Yes.
The veteran.
No, never.
You don't courtesy laugh? You have
for
to.
For some people, but like, no.
There's a pecking order in this locker room, and Devontae Adams is at the top of it. And right now, Brock Bowers as a rookie is at the very bottom.
Until midway through the season, and then he gets traded.
Yes, I've called the Devontae Adams trade so many times. It's like the girl who cried wolf. But Brock Bowers has to courtesy laugh, and maybe if you do, you don't get stuck with the worst nickname of all time, which is BM. That's as bad as it gets. I'd rather be the big dumper than BM. And it stands for businessman. Nobody's going to think it stands for that.
I hear you. But honestly, I also don't think Devontae Adams is a nickname hander-outer. I'm not sure the rest of the, like, he calls him that. I don't think the rest of the team necessarily is going along with that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know if this catches on.
Oh, it's going to catch on.
I don't know. Devontae Adams seems like a unique character.
Yeah, they should be laughing at their season last year.
Maybe that was part of the jokes he was cracking. You got to smile. You got to crack a joke. And meanwhile, again, like this, I'd rather be the big dumper. There are some really bad nicknames out there, like Muscle Hamster, and like there's just some been really.
Wait, that's the number one best nickname in the history of NFL.
Oh, I didn't like that one.
Muscle Hamster. What
Doug
did you not
Martin
like?
Didn't
about
like it either. What is it? It doesn't make any sense.
What the dude looks like a muscle hamster.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, I don't
know. It doesn't exist. It's not a thing.
Wait, I thought everybody liked that nickname. That's like, if you look at the list of most popular NFL nicknames, I'm sure that's on there. We definitely have different nicknames. So what nicknames do you love?
Well, like, you know, Dr. Duncanstein, stuff like that. Give me something creative.
From 1979. That's a good one.
Chocolate Thunder, stuff like that. I mean,
also 1982.
Yeah, well, they were giving out better nicknames.
Yeah, they had the Nike posters and the nicknames.
In the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet or twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Meat saying booger and stink. These are also, you know, we've kind of gotten used to those.
I'll tell you the worst.
BM is the one for Brock Bowers.
You think BM is the worst? I'll tell you what the worst is, because it's never used as a positive. Mr. Unlimited for Russell Wilson. That is always, oh, look at Mr. Unlimited.
And that name is so limited.
Well, also, so did he give it to himself? That's the other part. So I'm saying Brock Bowers should try to get himself out of this new nickname. Okay. BM stands for businessman, apparently, according to Devontae Adams. A little flimsy. But the cardinal sin is you cannot give yourself your own nickname.
I'm looking at a list of the best nicknames in the NFL right now, and it's stupid. Sauce Gardner's nickname is not Sauce. That's his name at this point, right?
No, his name's like Ahmad or something.
Right, but that doesn't count as a nickname anymore because he's listed as Sauce Gardner.
Oh, like Kool-Aid McKinstry? Like that
kind
of?
Yeah. I don't think that's a nickname.
Isn't that actually his name, Kool-Aid McKinstry?
Yeah, I think that is his name.
Oh, really?
No, he has another name. He does have another name. Check that. But Micah Parsons' nickname is 11 from Heaven. Did you guys know that?
No. I hope he didn't give himself that one.
The Cheetah,
I don't think he... That's a fine nickname. It's okay.
Yeah, it's JaQuincy McKinstry.
Yeah.
Which kind of rhymes. Kind of cool.
Danger Russ. K1 is Kyler Murray. Mahomeboy, I didn't know that.
Mahomie, I thought it was.
Yeah. That's both bad. Both of those are terrible.
BM is the worst. You want to be Brock Bowers right now and be BM, according to your teammate, Devontae Adams?
BM's not that bad.
Ryan.
It's not.
It stands for businessman. There's 100 different ways you can get across that point.
At a certain point, doesn't matter.
AB, all business.
Well, it's better than calling BO.
I don't think so.
He's calling him a businessman. It's not like he's calling him a jerk.
No, he's calling him a bowel movement. I'd rather be BO than BM.
No, thank you for spelling that. I think we understood what you meant.
Just for the people in the back.
But it's very quick. So you say in the locker room, oh, what's up, BM? Like, that's quick. It's off the tongue, easy. And he's going to know who he is. It's not that bad.
I mean, he's got BB sitting right there, Brock Bowers. Or if you want to do big man, well, big man is also BM. I don't know. There's 100 other things they could have done besides BM, and I think it all is connected. I think Devontae Adams is being slick here. He's upset that Brock Bowers didn't laugh at his jokes when he did the rookie panel. So
bit speculative there, Mac.
Well, I'm just, you know, connecting dots.
The funny thing, too, the weird thing about Brock Bowers is he looks like a 36-year-old accountant. It's the most bizarre-looking NFL rookie in the history. He looks 10 years older than Devontae Adams himself.
Meanwhile, speaking of the Raiders, while they're at top of the brain, we're talking about this nickname. We asked what's the biggest off-season move that any NFL team made, Pearl. And Evan was in the chat. Was this Evan in the chat? This was someone else in the chat. Can't get to it. P. Matty said it's obviously the Raiders with Gardner Minshew was the biggest move of the offseason. I don't know about that. We also got Hollywood Brown as also one of the biggest moves of the offseason. See, to me, the Chiefs signing Hollywood Brown, you're just another Chiefs receiver at this point. Kelce is easily the most important, and then everyone else is just sort of splitting the targets. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you could argue drafting Xavier Worthy is an even bigger deal than Hollywood Brown. And yeah. I was surprised. Didn't they bring back Mecole Hardman last week, too? So he's back in the mix. They have 10 of these guys. What about with the Raiders, Christian Wilkins? I assume that could end up being bigger because he's a real Pro Bowl player, where Minshew is I don't know what Minshew is. He's sort of a placeholder.
Yep.
I think most people think that the Raiders are a little bit lost at quarterback. What's the plan? Like, where are you going with Minshew, Aiden O'Connell?
Well, they may have had two seasons back-to-back where they could have made a move in the first round to try to either trade up or to take a quarterback, and they just didn't do it. I mean, last year they got kind of scooped. You know, six quarterbacks went before they drafted.
I wonder if they had penciled in Michael Penix and thought he'd be there. He would have made a lot of sense throwing to Devontae Adams and BM. No, BM would have been there if he had Michael.
Yeah, BM would have been somewhere else.
And by the way, Penix, that's already a problem.
Penix to enough, BM.
There's enough problems with Penix on your roster. Yeah.
And Penix to BM for 7.
Yeah, I always, if Penix makes the Pro Bowl and he's sitting next to Jalen Hurts, then they go do the jersey back-to-back. There's just so many options.
855-212-4227. Let's get some of these bad nicknames going, because Ryan, you're very kind. If somebody nicknamed me around the office BM, I would not like it. I'd probably quit and just find another job.
It's not that bad.
Oh.
Overreacting.
Businessman.
Businessman.
No, thanks.
Here comes the businessman.
I don't want that on my resume. You're also welcome to weigh in on the biggest NFL move from the offseason. Quickly want to update you. Tiger Woods at the U.S. Open is through four holes. Perloff, he's a one under par. Holding tight here as we get off on the majors. On the major.
Wow.
Here you go. Tiger Woods, one under. He birdied the first hole and has been par ever since.
When do we get excited? That's the question. I mean, I think it's going to be kind of a low score here at Pinehurst. So, yeah, he's got a lot of work left to do, as you would say. Ludwig Oberg, spelled Oberg, number one here, minus two. He's a hot golfer. Gio down the hall. Gio, who hosts Boomer Gio, huge Ludwig Oberg fan. He's always telling me bet on that guy.
Yet you keep betting on Victor Hovland.
I always do Victor Hovland, Colin Morikawa. I spread it out. I don't know. I used to do Tiger. Like, people bet. I bet you Tiger still gets the most money at Vegas. Like, people like to put in a little bet on Tiger.
You know, if I were trying to smartly bet Tiger Woods, I'm not betting him to win the tournament, but I'm betting other types of things, like top 50 finish or, you know, top 25 if you're feeling frisky, something like that.
Yeah, I wonder what the odds are on that. Because, I mean, listen, as bad as he was this year, he still made the cut at the Masters. I know you did finish last in the entire tournament, but
literally last.
Still made the cut.
Okay, coming up, we've got coaching updates for you on the Lakers. We've got what went wrong for the Mavericks last night and how much is Luka to blame for them basically blowing the series. Get to that next. It's Maggie Perloff.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.